I don't know much about art, but I know what I don't like. I don't like paintings to go walk about after I've set up the security system. I especially don't like it when it happens in the middle of the night.
Minute. Dragon. It's yours.
Yep.
Phone.
Brannigan.
It's Henry Naismith, Kate. We've had a burglary. The police are here. They need details of the security system. Can you come over?
Well, it wasn't like I was doing anything else at 3:30 in the morning, was it? And given the reason Henry Naismith had hired Brannigan Investigations and Security to install his burglar alarm in the first place, I figured there was probably more missing than the telly and the video.
Thanks for turning out.
It's what you pay for, Henry. So what's missing?
The money.
Professional job, yeah?
No doubt about it. They obviously chose their target. Case the place thoroughly, then did a quick in and out. Probably no identifiable forensics.
Does it put you in mind of anybody in particular?
Not from round here.
Is there any chance of getting my money back?
If I'm honest, sir, not a lot. Villains like this only take what they've already got a market for. Could be out of the country already.
Boss.
Excuse me.
Well, Henry, I reckon Officer Dibble's going to be as much use as a chocolate chip pan. Looks like it's down to me to get your money back.
With respect, how exactly do you expect to succeed when the police admit they haven't a clue?
People have a tendency to tell me things they don't necessarily want to share with the police. And that includes insurance companies.
I don't know, Kate. Looking at the state of the porch door, these people are clearly no strangers to violence.
Henry, I might only be 5'3", but I can look after myself. Besides, you're entitled to the first 30 hours of my time for free, according to your contract.
Yes, of course.
Besides, me nosing around will convince your insurers that you're not trying it on.
Why should they think that?
It won't be the first time somebody set up their own burglary for the insurance. Happens all the time around where I live. There's, nothing you want to tell me, Henry, is there?
There's no earthly reason why I should arrange this. We're making a profit here. The only thing I'm concerned about is that I'm due to leave for Australia in 3 weeks, and I'd like the matter resolved by then.
I'd better get weaving, then.
I drove back to Manchester with a lot on my mind. I don't like secrets. It's one of the reasons I became a private eye in the first place. I especially don't like them when they're the ones my client is keeping from me. So, later that morning, I decided to check out Henry Naismith's insurance company.
Miss Brannigan? I'll be right with you.
I know it's hard to believe, and it breaks my heart to admit it, but the claims manager was drop-dead gorgeous. If you've ever seen one of those Assyrian lion hunt sculptures in the British Museum, then you've seen Michael Haroon. OK, so he'd swapped the mini-kilt for a Paul Smith shirt and chinos. But let's face it, you don't make much progress up the corporate ladder wearing a short skirt, unless you're a woman. My only hope was that he'd be boring.
Sorry to keep you.
No problem. I was just admiring the decor. No wonder your premiums are so high.
You'd prefer us to look like failures. I hear good things about your agency, Miss Brannigan. But I thought you'd be a northern girl.
I grew up in Oxford, but I escaped.
Now, I've had Mr. Naismith's preliminary claim by fax. He said you'd be dropping by, but there's no real need. Between our in-house investigators and the police, we've pretty much got it covered.
So I've heard.
We do have one slight problem.
What kind of problem?
We think Stately Homes are being targeted by a gang. We've had 3 other burglaries with an identical MO in the last 9 months, and I know from colleagues in the industry that we're not the only ones suffering.
I'm obviously missing something here. Why is this a problem for Henry?
These burglaries are costing us a lot of money. Normally, we'd simply have to bite the bullet and increase premiums accordingly.
I hear a butt straining at the niche.
Very acute hearing, Miss Brannigan.
It's Kate.
And I'm Michael. So, Kate, here comes the but. The first of our clients to be robbed in this way was targeted again 3 months later. So, we took a policy decision that we would refuse to reinsure affected properties until measures had been taken to satisfy our assessors.
Could we try that in English?
We're asking owners to replace vulnerable items with copies.
Fakes? In stately homes of England?
It's a very effective security precaution. It avoids our clients having to pay massive premiums.
Well, it's not just about money, though. You get a buzz from the real thing that you just don't get from a repro.
Not one single member of the public has noticed the substitutions.
Yeah, but it's a con. People spending their bank holiday Mondays in a traffic jam just to ogle a constable that's more phony than a plastic Rolex. Aren't you in danger of breaching the Trade Descriptions Act?
Our clients may be. We're not.
I don't believe I'm hearing this. You spend hundreds of thousands a year to prevent your clients defrauding you, then happily suggest to those same clients that they defraud their customers?
That's not how we see it, Kate. Mm. Besides, it works. In at least two cases that I know about personally, copies have been stolen. If things had been different, that would have been two artworks possibly lost to their owners and the nation forever.
I'll speak to Henry. But I don't think he's going to like it. He's lived with those paintings all his life. If anybody knows the real thing, it's him.
I'm sure we can persuade him to adopt a sensible approach.
My day was looking up. Not only had I met the gorgeous Michael Haroon, but I knew where to go next. Alexis Lee, crime correspondent of the Chronicle. And, incidentally, my best pal. I found her with her feet propped up on the waste paper bin, a fag in the corner of her mouth and a copy of Private Eye on her lap.
I thought they paid you to work.
All right, Kate.
Oh, I think I'm in love, but apart from that, I'm fine.
Oh, about time you got shut of Richard the Wimp.
You know you love him, really.
Ha! What? A rock journalist, a Man United fan, a man who's built more joints than a hip replacement surgeon. Do me a favour. So who's the lucky fella? I'm assuming you haven't seen the light and it is a fella.
His name's Michael Haroon. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, it's probably only lust.
So what does he do for a living, this sex object?
You're going to laugh.
Probably, so you might as well get it over with.
He's in insurance.
You really know how to pick them, don't you?
It didn't take Alexis long to round up the story, as I demonstrated to Richard over lunch the next day.
She's done a great job. Now, listen. A series of spectacular robberies have been hushed up by police and stately homeowners. Now, fears are growing that a gang of professional thieves are stripping Britain of valuable artworks that form a key part of the nation's heritage. Among the stolen pieces are, blah, 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 total estimated at nearly 10 million.
Mm, still my beating heart. Pass them a sesame prize.
Here you go. Some owners have even resorted to hanging replicas of the missing masterpieces in a bid to fool the public.
You want that last spare rib?
No. Listen, Richard, this is really good stuff. A police source said last night, there's no doubt we're dealing with professionals who may well steal to order.
So why are you wasting your time talking to Alexis when you should be talking to your professional contacts?
Branigan.
Kate, it's Michael Haroon.
Oh, right. What can I do for you?
Tell me, is Alexis Lee a real person or is it just your pen name? I think we have some matters to discuss. I'm tied up in meetings all afternoon, but I think we should meet this evening.
Mm-hmm. Your office or mine?
I've booked a table for 8 o'clock at Essentials. I'll see you there.
Looks like I'm working tonight.
Me too. This brand new band of a Marcy Way, some sort of unplugged jungle banger fusion.
Really?
Mm.
Well, I'm gutted to be missing that. Oh, and as for professional help, I've already arranged to see Dennis tomorrow morning. But now I've got to go and do some very boring process serving.
Take care.
I wasn't exactly lying about the process serving, but it wasn't quite the whole truth. If I was being wined and dined at the best restaurant in town by the chewiest bloke I'd seen aside a Mardi Gras, I needed a serious one-to-one with my bathroom. It must have worked, for I swear we didn't talk about insurance for more than 10 minutes. In fact, by the time he got back to my place, there was no question but that he was coming in for coffee. After all, if I was going to make Richard jealous enough to start thinking about where our relationship was headed, the least I could do was let him see me and Michael together.
You live alone, then?
Yes and no. I have a relationship with the man next door. But we don't actually live together. We've got a conservatory that runs along the back of both houses.
Mm-hmm.
But we both reserve the right to lock the door. Coffee?
That depends.
You'll be driving.
Even if I'd been young, free and single, he'd have been driving. It was our first date, after all. And he was an insurance man. Anyway, the coffee had barely brewed when we had company.
Brannigan, I'm home. Oh, there. You must be the insurance man. You two still working?
We finished ages ago. Michael came back for coffee.
You don't mind if I join you then? I'm Richard Barclay, by the way. You wait for Brannigan to remember her manners and you could be dead.
Michael Haroon, pleased to meet you.
So, you fancy some Chinese? I wasn't expecting company, but there should be enough for three.
We've had dinner at Essentials.
What? Somewhere without a walk? You'll be gagging for a salt and pepper rib then.
No thanks.
Nah, I suppose not with a name like Haroon. Want a joint? I could skin you one up.
I don't, thanks.
That makes one sensible man in the room.
So, Mike, what do you do when you're not chipping 100 quid off people's car theft claims because some sneaky neighbour revealed the ashtray was full?
I play computer games like Kate, and I work out down the gym.
Thought as much. A bit pointless for me, humping all that metal around. I prefer team sports. I suppose it can't be easy finding people to play with you when you're an insurance man. A bit like being a head nurse at the leper colony.
Oh, I've never had any trouble finding people to play with, Dick. So, what's your team sport? Polo? Yacht racing? Show jumping?
I'm a footy man. Local league.
Every Sunday morning. Never mind the weather.
I've never been much into mud myself. Kate, if you'll excuse me, I've got an early start tomorrow. It's been a great evening. I'll see myself out.
Thanks for dinner. Now I remember why I never mix business and pleasure. I do enjoy being rude to the people who pay my mortgage.
He's not your client. You're making a point, Brannigan, you don't need to. You know I love you.
Yeah, right.
Sloppy!
If I was American, Dennis O'Brien would be my personal trainer. But this is Manchester, and Dennis is actually a retired robber who taught me all I need to know about using Thai boxing as self-defence when you're my size. Never mind heroics, here's what you do. You dish out one good kick to the knee or the groin, then you run like hell. It might sound funny, but I trust Dennis more than I trust almost anybody in the supposedly honest world. He's probably the most moral person I know. It's just that his moral code isn't the one most of us use.
You need to do some work. Pick them feet up, yeah. Or you'll be mincemeat out on the street.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God. So, cheer me up. What have you got, Go? Anything I can help you with while I'm still around?
Not unless you know an international gang of art thieves.
Art thieves?
Yeah, they've been working all over the country, turning over stately homes. They go for one item, go straight through the nearest window, a quick in and out, and they're gone before the busies get there. Sound like anyone you know?
Oh, I'm all out of touch with that scene now. Ducking and diving, that's what I do best these days.
Damn. Brannigan.
I've got info. What have you got to swap for it?
You can borrow my leather jacket for a week.
Too tight under the armpits.
Hot gossip?
You go first.
I had dinner last night at Essentials with the insurance man.
And
nothing. He came in for coffee, Richard barged in, they squabbled like two dogs over a bone, and he went home.
Alone?
Of course alone. Look, trust me, Alexis, nothing's happening with the insurance man. Now cut the crap and show me yours. Oh, what's the word on the street?
Well, I don't know about the street. I'm working the stately home circuit these days. Mm. I've just come off the blower with a punter called Lord Ballantrae. He's some sort of Scotch baron.
What, you mean he's in the whisky trade?
No, soft girl. He's a baron and he comes from Scotland. Though you'd never know it to listen to him.
So, what, has he been burgled too?
That's right. And he got together with his blue blood mates and they formed this network to pool their information to try and stop the same thing happening to the cronies. One of them spotted my piece and thought he should give me a bell. So now I'm doing a news feature about Lord Ballantrae and his gang.
Ah, and you're going to give me the number?
I emailed it to you, along with all the background I got off him.
I owe you one.
Only the one. I'll see you, girl.
Bye.
An insurance, ma'am.
Don't you start.
So, next morning, I was up at the crack of dawn, hammering up the M6 towards Dumdivi Castle. It nestled in the heart of the borders, which meant you couldn't get a decent express over 30 miles in any direction. About a mile up a track, I came face to face with what looked like an architectural car boot sale, mostly featuring turrets. You could have had a battalion of mad women in the attics and not even noticed. He was in his 30s, coal black wavy hair cascading over the collar of a faded Scottish rugby shirt. Closer up, he looked like a Victorian doll. Milky skin, pink cheeks, blue eyes and long, long lashes. I wondered if he said mamma when he lay down at night.
Miss Brannigan, James Ballantrae. Come away in.
We turned into a passage whose walls were lined with enough military hardware to have got Bonnie Prince Charlie all the way to Derby. We ended up in a modern office with a pair of PCs and all the peripherals.
So, you're looking for Henry's money?
I hoped you might be able to help me.
I'll do what I can. The downside of having locally accountable police forces is that crime gets compartmentalised. It was actually myself and a few friends who realised there was a pattern. We told the police there appeared to be an epidemic of robberies, all with the same routine of forced entry, complete disregard of the alarm system and single, valuable targets.
I'm amazed you managed to keep it all out of the papers.
It's not the sort of thing you boast about. We need the paying customers too much. Of course, most of us are on good terms with the editors of our local papers. I wrote to as many other stately homeowners as I could track down and asked if they'd had similar experiences.
How many?
Including Henry's money. 13 burglaries in the last 9 months.
Can you tell me what the geographical spread's like?
We were the most northerly victims, but they stretch from Northumberland to Cornwall, north to south, and from Lincolnshire to Anglesey, east to west. Look, I've got them on computer, marked on a map of the UK. There. You can see for yourself.
Yeah. Can you link the locations with this?
Join up the dots, as it were.
Yeah.
Like this?
Well, more like, may I?
Be my guest.
More like this. Two very approximate but roughly concentric circles.
Centering on Manchester.
Looks that way to me.
That's remarkable. There is one thing. I wasn't going to bother showing you, but since it looks as if you're onto something, you might want a copy of this to compare with any suspects you come across. It's a closed-circuit video of one of the robberies. It's not much use, since they were wearing ski masks, but it does give a sense of their size and shape.
Actually, it did a lot more than that. The screen showed an empty room lined with paintings. Suddenly, from the bottom left-hand corner, the burglars appeared. The staccato movements of the time-lapse photography made them look like puppets in an amateur performance. One of them ran straight to one painting in particular and wrenched it off the wall, damaging the frame. Then he ran back out of shot, followed by his mate. I felt like I'd been punched in the stomach. I drove straight home, then I hit the phone. Dennis wasn't at the gym and his mobile was switched off. I left a message with Debbie, the wife of No Brain, and hoped he'd get it. I knew I should go into the office, but I knew I'd only bite everybody's head off. I ended up cleaning the house. I was considering bleaching the teaspoons when...
Hiya. Debbie said you'd got some work for me.
Something to show you. Nice one, Dennis. Thanks for marking my card.
What was I supposed to do? Put my hands up when you tell me what you're looking into.
Never mind what I expected. What you've done has dropped me right in it.
Hey, what is this? You know the kind of thing I do for a living. I'm a thief, a criminal. How else do you think I feed my family and put clothes on their backs? It's not like I was keeping it a secret.
No, but...
You're quick enough to come for my help because I can go places and get people to talk that you can't. You think I could do that if I wasn't as bent as them?
So, you had the bright idea of stealing art?
Hey, listen. If I'd known you'd done the security on that money, I'd never have touched it. I mean, you're my mate. I wouldn't embarrass you.
If I recognised you, somebody else might.
Yeah, well, you better do what you have to do then, eh?
You don't think I'm going to shop you, do you?
It's your job.
No, no, it's not. My job is to get my client's property back. It's down to the police to arrest people.
You've turned people over to Dibble before. It's OK, I won't hold it against you. It's an occupational hazard. You work with asbestos, sometimes you get lung cancer. You go robbing, sometimes you get a nicking.
I am not going to grass you up, Dennis. All I want is Henry's picture back.
I hear you.
So cough.
Look, it's not that simple. I haven't got it anymore.
That was quick.
A ready market. We only do it to order.
Whose order?
It works one or two ways. Either I get a call from a contact and there's a request for a particular piece, or else I spot someone I know we can walk away with and I put in a call to see if there's a demand.
Well, how do you know what's worth nicking?
The bloke I'm working with did a couple of open university courses on the history of art last time he was inside.
Marvellous. You can't beat a good education. So who's your fence and how much does he pay?
Best 10 grand a pop.
Buttons?
It's not buttons. It's good money, with no hassle.
There's a fraction of what these pieces are worth.
Worth is only what somebody's willing to pay on the day. 10 grand for a night's work is fine by me.
Tell that to your wife when you're looking at a 10 stretch from the wrong end. So, who's the buyer?
I don't know. Like I said, it's done through a contact.
100 grand's worth of work for some punter and you don't even know his name?
My business ain't like yours. I don't check out credit references when I do business with somebody. A mutual friend put us in touch. All I've got is a mobile number. We meet on the motorway services, we show him the goods, he counts out the dosh and we do a swap.
And what about the fakes?
Are you saying that money wasn't kosher?
It was, but they haven't all been, have they?
Well, 3 of them were bent as a 9-bob note. First I knew about it was a week after the handover when the geezer bells me and tells me. We had to do another job for free. Well, a grand for expenses. So we go and do another one, and bugger me if that isn't moody as well. Devious bastards, them stately homeowners. We ended up having to do a third job on us just to get square. Believe me, this geezer is not somebody you want to mess about with.
But everything's hunky-dory now?
Sweet.
So, you won't mind introducing us, will you?
No way. These are gangsters, Kate. They're not people you should be going up against.
That is for me to decide, Dennis, not you. Look, I need to get a result here. Give me a fence and maybe I can work it so you don't get caught up in the fallout.
I didn't get the phone number. What I did get was a promise that Dennis would set up a meet. Now I only had one problem. If I was going to sort this out without Dennis's name ever entering the picture, I had to find somebody to take the rap, which meant I had to find out who was behind the racket, whatever it took.
Ballantrae.
I need your help. I need a fake to set up a sting, something I can conceal a bug in.
You mean a piece of jewellery, something like that?
It needs to be pretty substantial, a Fabergé egg, that kind of thing.
I think I know the very thing. About 4 inches by 1.5 inches, solid gold encrusted with semi-precious gems. Abercrombie Jewellers.
Hello, Clive. It's Kate Branigan.
The answer's no.
Now, Clive, you know you don't mean that.
Branigan & Co, Investigations and Security.
Shelley, I need you to drop some bits and pieces off with Clive Abercrombie.
The jeweller?
Speak, it's your money.
I'm ready. Tell your man you vouch for me, and I've got something really special for him.
But what if he won't go for it? Like I told you, we have to wait for a yes or no. He's very picky, and he likes to be in control.
That makes two of us. Tell him there's only two in the world. I've got one, and the British Museum's got the other one. Tell him it's from High Hammerton Hall and it's solid gold. Believe me, Dennis, he'll want it.
I'm coming with you.
No, you're not. I'm a big girl, Dennis. I can handle one man in a car park.
But I...
Sorted. By 3 the next afternoon, everything was in place. Shelley, my office manager, was parked with her engine running just off the first motorway junction after the service area. I was plastered with makeup, my auburn hair hidden under a blonde big hair wig. I was wearing a black lycra mini, a white scoop-necked vest and my well-worn black leather jacket, plus white stilettos. Seriously dodgy. My own mother would have thrown me out of the house. Come to that, I would have thrown me out of the house. I'd finally got Dennis to admit he knew the name of his fence, even though he wasn't supposed to. Nicholas Turner. Mr. Turner was right on time. 40 grand's worth of metallic green German saloon, just like you'd promised.
All right.
I'm told you have something I might be interested in. I don't normally deal with people on a freelance basis.
Dennis told me how you work, but I figured if I showed you what I can do, you might put a bit of work my way.
We'll see what you got then.
What about the car of your money?
Satisfied?
You will be. It's a ceremonial Anglo-Saxon belt buckle. Solid gold. From Ironman.
Yeah, I know where it's from. Is this the real thing?
Do I look stupid enough to try and blag a contact to Dennis's? Behave.
There's been nothing in the papers.
I can't help that, can I? What do you want me to do? Issue a press release?
You don't much of this sort of thing.
You want a frigging CV? Listen, all you need to know is that I can deliver. Plus, I haven't got a record, which makes me a better bet than Dennis. Look, do you want this or not?
Oh, I think my clients will be happy with this. There's 10K in the glove box. It's yours now. Next time, phone before you lift the goods.
No sweat. I like a man who knows what he wants. God, I hate Shelley's taste in music. I headed off in the same direction as Turner. As I shot past the petrol pumps, I saw him at the corner of my eye. He was hanging back to check whether I went the way I was supposed to. So I ignored him, got back on the motorway and left at the next junction, exactly like I would if I was going back to Manchester. Only I didn't. Ah, that's better. Now I had my own car back. I took off after the buckle in a car that Turner had never clapped eyes on. Catching up was really easy, thanks to the tracer bug Clive Abercrombie had installed under one of the fake jewels that encrusted the fake belt buckle. As I drove, I ditched the wig and scrubbed off the makeup with a wet wipe. If I had to snuggle up to him in city traffic anywhere, he wouldn't see a familiar face in his rearview mirror. I was glad I had a full tank. Bradford, Leeds, Castleford, Pontefract, we went straight past them all, a steady 85 on the clock. He'd obviously heard the same rumour I had about how fast you have to go to trigger the speed cameras. When we hit Hull, we started following the signs for the ferry port. I couldn't believe it. When he walked into the ferry terminal, I wanted to commit murder.
Yeah, that's right. An open return. No, cash. Cheers.
Turner didn't look twice at an auburn-haired woman in jeans, navy blazer and moccasins. At least I had enough readies to buy my own open return to Rotterdam. Then I dealt with the logistics.
Richard Barclay.
How busy are you?
Oh, nothing that can't wait.
I'm in Hull. I need my passport.
To go to Yorkshire?
I'm booked on the night ferry to Holland, but my passport's in my desk drawer at home.
How long have I got?
Just under 3 hours.
Ferry terminal?
Yep.
Me missing a support band.
There was nothing for it but to sit in the car and wait and fret.
I told you I'd make it.
Well done.
You'll have to stand for any speeders I've picked up. There we go.
There are 2 passports here.
I thought I'd come along for the ride. I've got nothing pressing for the next couple of days and it's about time we had a jaunt. Besides, you get a great dope in Amsterdam.
No way. This isn't a jaunt, it's work. I've got enough to worry about without wondering if you're having a nice time.
You might need some protective colouring. There are times when a couple is less conspicuous than a woman on her own, and I could share the driving.
You don't expect me to interview spotty adolescent wannabe pop stars, and I don't expect you to play detectives. Go home, Richard. Please.
You're making a mistake here.
Yeah. But at least it's my mistake. I watched him drive off. I didn't have time for regrets because the ferry was loading and Turner was already on board. Half an hour later, we were heading out into the steel grey North Sea. By the time we docked in Rotterdam, I'd clocked up enough sleep to drive all day if I had to. As soon as we were clear of the ship's steel hull, my tracking device clocked on.
Wherever Nicholas Turner was going with the Anglo-Saxon belt buckle, I was going too. Wherever turned out to be Antwerp. I tailed Turner to the city centre, followed him to an expensive hotel. I slipped into the foyer and buried my nose in a leaflet about day trips to Bruges while he checked in.
I'm expecting some people this afternoon for a meeting, if you could send them up when they get here.
Of course, Mynheer.
A table for one for dinner at 7 and an early morning call at 6.
Dinner at 7, the wake-up call at 6 and the paper?
No, thanks.
So, he got a bucket of mussels and a bottle of muscadet. The restaurant had big windows. And I got the national dish of Belgium, chips and mayo. And the cheap hotel around the corner.
Shit! Lights out.
It's me, Brannigan! Stop kicking me!
Oh,
that's some traditional Belgian greeting, then.
It's a traditional private eyes greeting for unwanted visitors. What the hell are you doing here?
Nice to see you too, Brannigan. Oh, I think you relocated my stomach under my left ear.
So's you right. You scared me witless. What was wrong with the phone? Besides, how did you find me?
Call yourself a detective. I've been telling you since you got off the ferry. I phoned ahead and arranged a hire car. Thought it would be a nice surprise.
You've been tailing me. Unbelievable.
So, can I stay?
Oh God, Richard.
Well, look, if he's going on a long call, you can't use the same car all the way. He's going to spot you eventually. With me here, we can stay in touch on our mobile, swap the tail around. That way you can go to the loo without losing him on the motorway.
Absolutely not. Besides, I've already hired myself a different car. It's out of the question. Brannigan.
You're supposed to say something like Zeg Victor 1 to BD.
Bollocks.
Target on move. I've just pulled out behind him. Over and out.
I wish. Brannigan.
Deutschland, Deutschland, über alles.
We don't have borders in Europe anymore, remember? Look, fall back and let me take up the front tail.
Rheingold.
Yes, I had recognised the river. Looks like we're heading for Switzerland. Know any good songs about Zurich? Richard, he's pulling over into the services. How are you for petrol?
About a quarter of a tank.
Well, I need to fill up. I'm coming off behind him. You go ahead, but slow as you like.
High on a hill with a lonely goat herd. Lay-o-lay-lay-lay.
That doesn't count. The von Tracks were Austrian, not Swiss. Okay, King Subby, you win. Look, I'm going to fall back now and let you take pole position again, okay?
This is quite fun, really.
Your life must be sadder than I thought. Volare, Cantare,
my God, Dean Martin lives. Quick, sign her up for Stars in Their Eyes. I think that means we're in Italy.
Well, we will be by the end of this tunnel. Take the next exit.
Where the hell are we?
How do I know? Just take the exit. Then left up the river valley. Try and catch me up. There's a little village up ahead. Oh, he stopped. There's a drive here on the left. Villa San Pietro. He must have gone up there.
What nice Samantha Spade.
You go back down to the village and find us a bed for the night. Then you sit in the car on the main road in case Turner comes back down the valley, taking the receiver with you in case the buckle goes somewhere he doesn't.
What are you going to do while I'm doing that?
I'm going to take a look at the Villa San Pietro.
Oh, you can't just drive up there like the milkman.
Correct. I'm going to walk up, like a nosy tourist.
You can't go on your own, it's dangerous.
And we can't both go in case Turner comes driving back down with the buckle while we're 10 minutes away from the car. You were right. You do have your uses this trip.
I hate it when you found a logical explanation for what you were going to do regardless.
The drive had been carved out of the rough scrub and stunted trees of the hillside. 10 minutes' brisk climbing brought me to a clearing opposite iron gates in a 7-foot-high pink stucco wall. Beyond, I could see a 2-storey villa that screamed money. So did the 3 security cameras engaged in constant sweeps of the perimeter. I backed away, hoping the dusk and the heavy undergrowth were enough to keep me hidden.
This is it.
This is it.
Oh, call the Star Police. Have you seen that picture of the Sacred Heart?
Makes Jesus look more like an awful butcher than the Son of God. I've been in prison cells with more elegance.
Oh, and softer beds, I bet.
So, what's the game plan now?
Right, we can put the receiver on auto alert. Now, it'll stay quiet unless the buckle moves more than 0.5 kilometre. And if that happens, it sets off an alarm. If the buckle moves, we follow it. Otherwise, we shower, eat and sleep, please God. No! No! No!
Can you see him?
He's not in his car. There's 3 or 4 in front of me. I can't see.
Oh, we've not lost him, have we?
We've not lost the buckle. That's the main thing. Wait a minute. Got it. They're in a black stretch limo, left at the T-junction.
Pretty harbour. What's happening?
You see that big yacht over there?
The Floating Gin Palace.
They're aboard.
They?
There's Turner, plus a chauffeur who looks like a gorilla in a uniform, and an old guy with a briefcase who looks like he's walked straight out of a Scorsese mafia movie. More hawk nose and hooded eyes.
That boat's registered out of Palermo, Brannigan. This doesn't just look like the Mafia, it is the Mafia. Oh, Christ, let's get out of here.
Hang on. Action. See Mr. Musselbound coming down the gangplank with Turner? That's the chauffeur. It looks like they're heading back, minus the briefcase. You want to follow them?
What about you?
Well, I'll keep an eye on the boat, see what happens. Either they're going to take off with the buckle, or a buyer's going to turn up here.
No heroics?
No heroics. Oh, dear.
Turner and the bodyguard have gone back to the villa.
I think someone's just found the bug in the buckle. I'm out of here. I'll meet you back at the hotel. This is like the dining room on the Marie Celeste. Do you think anybody ever eats here twice?
Not if they have a palate. You could soil your shoes with this lasagna. I thought you said Italian food was one of the world's great cuisines.
There's an exception to every rule. Look on the bright side, you're probably having more fun than Nicholas Turner right now.
He's probably halfway to a decent Chinese takeaway by now.
I hope so.
We should have headed back ourselves.
I need sleep. God, do I need sleep.
Looks like our friend from the villa's got something to celebrate.
What?
Don't turn around, but the gorilla just walked into the bar and bought everybody a drink. You can see him through the glass doors over by the bar.
I didn't know you spoke Italian.
It's a guy thing.
Right. I fancy seeing inside that villa.
What?
I'm going to chat up the bodyguard.
Look, you're out of your mind. You've forgotten how big he is.
What's the whole point? He's been hired for his brawn, not his brain.
Look, he'll never get his keys off him, Brannigan. This is madness.
Watch me.
No way.
Wait,
just...
Take your hands off me, ow! Richard. You don't own me, and you certainly don't tell me what to do.
Look, I love you, you silly bitch. If you want to go and get yourself killed, you'll have to knock me out first.
Well, don't think I won't if I have to. This is my job, Richard. I know what I'm doing.
Treat me like an idiot. That's what you and your mates think I am anyway, isn't it? Richard the wimp. Richard the pillock. Richard the doormat. Dick the merchant banker.
Don't be a prat.
Oh, why not? That's what I'm best at. I'm only a bloke. I'm not smart like the girls. I'm not supportive like the girls.
I'm just a poor sod who gets tolerated because he's marginally more fun than a vibrator.
For God's sake, Richard, I love you.
No, love. You don't know the meaning of the word. You never let anybody else get close enough. It's all a game. It's just like your job. It's all a pose.
Look, this is not the time or the place for this. We're both tired. We're both stressed. Let's leave it till we get home. Huh? Now, let me do what I've got to do. Please.
You think you can just sweep me under the carpet?
Well, no way. You were talking about this at home? Fine. Let's go. Let's go now. You coming?
No woman is a heroine to her dentist. I have a paralysing fear of drills and needles. As a result, I knew I wasn't going to have to rely on anything as crude as physical strength to conquer the bodyguard. If Richard hadn't pissed me off so much, I'd have explained. As for picking up Jarny the Giant, it was a doddle. His brains were definitely all below the belt.
I said, you have great muscles!
I hugger you like a bear. I show you.
I bet you look great when you're stripped for action. Down the gym?
You say strip? You want to strip with me?
Is that an offer, big boy?
You want to come home with me?
We don't have to go that far. I've got a room here.
Upstairs?
One more drink. A surprise. I'll bring it over.
I had 6 tranks left from my dental prescription. Last time I'd been to the loo, I'd crushed them up. Given how much Jarny had had to drink, I reckon 20 minutes would see him polaxed.
Now, you have to drink the first one really fast and the second one really slow. We can finish them upstairs, yes?
Come here. I want to...
I've just got to go to the loo. Yes. Car, house, remote controls for various alarms. Cracked it. Right. Tie his hands and feet with electrical cable. Gag him with strips of torn up sheet. And wrap him in another sheet. And truss him like a chicken. With more torn up strips. There we go. Shame you've not got a pyramid to stick him in.
I didn't reckon I'd be coming back there in a hurry, so I threw everything into my hold all and nipped down the fire escape. I drove to the villa in Jarny's nippy little Alpha. That way there would be nothing to identify me on the security cameras. Armed with his keys, getting into the villa was as easy as walking through my own front door. The place was as dark and silent as a mausoleum. It had about the same amount of marble. The heart of the house was a study on the upper floor. I booted up the computer. But there were so many files, I figured the easiest thing to do was to take the machine's memory with me. I stripped the hard drive out of the computer, then put it all back together so it looked exactly the same as it had before. Next time anyone switched it on, they'd get a hell of a shock.
Ow! Ow! Thing. Stupid place to leave a phone book. Wait a minute. The safe!
Dennis, I'm looking at the outside of a safe and I want to be looking at the inside. Any ideas?
Kate, you're a bigger villain than me.
Never mind the repartee. This is costing me a fortune.
Then I'm sure somebody else will end up paying for it. All right, what's it look like, this safe?
About 2 foot square, a 6-digit electronic display above a keypad. The keypad's got letters as well as numbers.
You've got no chance unless you know the combination.
You sure?
That's why they call them safes. It might be a sloppy git, though. Some people are stupid enough to use their birthday or the last 6 digits of their phone number, because if they don't, they forget it. Now, the really sloppy ones, they write down and stick it in the desk drawer. Now, have a poke about, see what you come up with. Where are you, anyway?
You don't want to know.
You better stay lucky, then.
I trawled the desk drawers and tried everything, from vehicle registrations to invoice numbers. Nothing. I sat staring at the blank computer screen, waiting for inspiration. And there it was, right in front of me. The monitor model number. 17SH98. Della, it's Kate. Listen, I need your office fax number.
Kate?
Your office fax number.
It's the middle of the night.
When did you start going to bed after the 9 o'clock news? Della, this is important. I need to fax some really sensitive stuff somewhere safe.
What's wrong with your office?
I don't know if they have itemised phone billing in Italy, but if they do, it's better for my health if the person whose fax machine I'm using thinks it's gone to Greater Manchester Police.
I don't like the sound of this.
Trust me, you will. You don't want to be a mere detective chief inspector for the rest of your career, do you? The fax number?
I hope I'm not going to live to regret this.
I headed for the garage and chose the least noticeable set of wheels there. A little green van. My luck was holding. The keys were in the ignition. Now, I don't believe in sixth sense, or second sight, or seventh sons of seventh sons. But something was making the hair on the back of my neck stand up, and it wasn't love at first sight. I took a deep breath and looked over my shoulder into the back of the van. I wished I hadn't. There's only one thing comes in a 6 feet long, heavy-duty black bag with a zipper up the front. It's one thing to think somebody might be dead. It's another thing entirely to find yourself staring at their mortal remains, feeling responsible. It was my bug and my scam that had got Nicholas Turner dead. My legs wanted to run, but my heart needed vengeance. I couldn't go to the police, and it would be at least a couple of days till I could lay it all out before DCI Del Apprentice, and then she'd have to get the Italians to move. If I left the van and Turner at the villa, he'd be long gone by the time anyone came looking. I had to find somewhere to stash the van and the body where no one would care or notice. Oh, and there was one other little thing.
Hi, this is Richard, and it's a bad moment. Leave your message after the tone, and I'll either ignore it or respond.
It's me. I don't expect you were planning on going back to Pensioni. I wouldn't recommend it. I've checked out, and there's someone else in our room. It could be very bad for your health. I'll see you back home. Oh, and Richard, I do love you.
Si, signorina.
I need to get to Manchester as soon as possible.
Si. You have a ticket?
No, I just need to get back to Manchester.
Si. There is a flight to Paris in 2 hours. It connects to Manchester. No, there is no availability.
What about business class, first class?
Si, signorina, but it's very expensive.
I don't care what it costs, I have cash. I've been driving for 5 hours and all I want to do is get back home. Now, can you tell me where the hire car desks are? I'm sorry, but I had no choice.
You must pay a surcharge to cover the cost of picking up your car from...
Yeah, Casanica.
And taking it back to Belgium.
Yeah, that's fine. No problem, just give me the bill. But can we hurry up here? They'll be calling my flight.
Miss Brannigan.
That's me.
Would you step this way, please?
What's the matter?
Just come with me, please.
Oh, you look like you've had a rough flight.
Believe me, the flight was a piece of cake.
So, you won't mind explaining the 50-page fax?
You want the short version or the long one?
Both, please. In that order?
It started with my client having a Monet nicked. It turned out that was just the latest in a series of art thefts at British stately homes. It's been homegrown talent doing the robbing, but the mafia were commissioning the robberies. They paid the thieves a flat fee for the stolen goods, then used the art as collateral to trade for drugs. The material I faxed you outlines a series of drug transactions over the last 2 years. I've got a hard disk packed with encrypted files as well as the fax. And the whole thing was coordinated at this end by a fence called Nicholas Turner. I tracked him to a villa in Italy where I happened upon all this juicy evidence. Unfortunately, he won't be corroborating my story. on account of he's currently in a body bag in a van in the long-term parking at Milan Airport. Oh, and it looks like Richard and I have split up.
Busy week, then.
It's not over yet. I need to see a man about an insurance claim. Can I use your phone? Mine's dead.
Yeah, help yourself, but don't make any urgent appointments.
But aren't you worried they're going to come after you?
We can't. Nobody knows who I am. We signed into the pensione under false names, and I pay cash everywhere. The only person who's ever saw my face was the bodyguard. And he won't remember a thing when he finally wakes up. Turner only ever saw me with a wig and makeup, and he's dead.
It wasn't... I mean, you didn't...
No, I didn't kill him. I only set him up. And my payoff was getting to find the body. Can we talk about something a bit more cheerful? Like how you're going to reinsure Henry Naismith without any additional security arrangements?
But how do we know this gang won't start up again once the fuss has died down?
Trust me, you'll never have any trouble from them again.
You seem very sure of that.
I am. No buyer, no fence, no point.
There is one thing I've been wondering about.
Dinner?
Apart from dinner. You never explained how you discovered the identity of the fence.
No, I didn't, did I?
You must let me have the bill for your trip. It sounds utterly dreadful.
Don't you want to know about your money?
Well, Mr. Haroon said there was no chance of recovering it. I didn't want to remind you of your lack of success in that respect when you'd been so successful otherwise.
What I didn't tell Mr. Haroon was that the painting showed up in the paperwork. It had got to the drug runners, but it hadn't been traded on.
You mean it might still turn up?
You really should tell me the score.
I don't know what you mean.
Henry!
When my parents died, there wasn't a lot of money. But I did my sums and realised that with a cash injection, this place could be made profitable. I talked it over with an old friend, and he told me what he'd done in the same position. And it seemed like a good idea.
Yeah, which was?
After I had the money authenticated for insurance, my friend had it copied. Then I sold the original to a Japanese collector at the height of the Impressionist boom on condition that he never displayed it publicly. And no one ever noticed, you know? All those experts never spotted the swap.
And then when it got stolen, you couldn't own up because that would mean admitting you'd been lying all along to the insurance company. Not to mention the general public who pay cash to look at your money.
I'm sorry. I really am. I simply didn't know how to tell you.
The thing is, Henry, I can't sit back and watch you defraud Fortissimo's insurance to the tune of seven figures. I've done some dodgy things for my clients, but this is a few noughts too far.
But even if it did come out, there'd be no suggestion that you knew about it. You'd never have tried so hard to get it back if you'd known it was a copy, after all.
But I'd know that I knew, and that's what matters.
So what now? You throw me to the wolves?
Oh, no, Henry. I'm going to rely on your reputation for honesty.
Kate.
Strictly business. I have some very surprising news from Henry Naismith. He's finally got round to clearing out some boxes of papers that were lurking in a dark corner of the attic.
And?
And he found a bill of sale and a note accompanying it in his father's handwriting. Michael, the money was a fake. Henry's father had it secretly copied a couple of years before he died, then sold it to a Japanese collector. What the burglar stole was a fake.
Impossible. We had it authenticated by an expert.
Sometimes even experts get it wrong. Maybe he was misled by the paperwork. I'm told it had an excellent provenance.
I can't believe this. Unless we're really talking about your client, not his father.
What is this? I come here telling you your company's just saved itself a seven-figure payout, and you're giving me a bad time. Look at your bottom line, Michael.
This stinks like Grimsby fish, Doc.
Would he have sent me chasing across Europe after a fake? Would I have gone?
I have to hand it to you, Kate. You are a smooth operator. Tell your client we won't be coming after him for fraud. But I will be coming after you. Dinner tonight?
Why not? My next mistake was picking up my voicemail.
You've got a meeting with a new client in reception at the Charterhouse Hotel at 3:30. Très confidential. He'll make himself known to you.
Thank you, Shelley. It's just what I needed when I've got to go to Antwerp on the morning flight to pick up my car. It wasn't even as if I needed the money. I still had the thick end of $9,000 locked in the office safe.
Is there not a message for me, then?
I'm sorry, there doesn't seem to be anything.
Kate?
Richard? You and Shelley set me up.
No way. I'm here to meet the Chronicle Features editor.
Alexis.
I can't believe we both fell for him.
Well, we're here now.
Yep.
I missed you, Richard.
Oh, me too, Kate. I'm sorry. I was out of order.
Me too. I never meant to hurt you. So, any suggestions?
Do you suppose they've got any rooms?
We were drinking the last of the second bottle of champagne 5 hours later when I noticed the time. I hoped Michael Horeen wasn't still waiting in the restaurant 2 hours after we were supposed to meet. But deep down, I didn't really care if he was. I'm sure it would have been nice to pick up some extra business from Fortissimus. But being grown up means that some prices are way too high to pay.
Taken years ago, turned around back so the windshield shows. Every street light reveals a picture.
In Clean Break by Val McDermid, Kate Branigan was played by Charlotte Coleman. Richard was John Lloyd Fillingham, Alexis Noreen Kershaw, and Michael Haroon was Joseph Jones. Dennis was played by Jeff Hinsliff, Henry Naismith by Rob Pickavance, Lord Ballantrae was Martin Reeve, and Della Prentice was Catherine Hunt. All other parts were played by members of the cast. Clean Break was directed in Manchester by Melanie Harris.
This video was uploaded to the channel Thinking Out Louder. Please like, comment, and subscribe to the Thinking Out Louder channel. Thank you.